It's interesting that the Lord has kind of thrown the word revolutionaries into our midst of what he's doing. And revolutionaries, they're willing to lay down their lives for the cause, for the nation, for whatever it is, the revolution. And the Lord speaks out a lot about the kingdom. You know, you hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. You lose your life, you find it. And the kingdom of God is like the man who found a buried, buried treasure in a field. And he sold everything he had to purchase that field. It's worth everything. And I think one of the big inlets is not wanting to let go. You don't want to let go. And truly say from the depths of our heart, God, whatever, I don't care about anything I have a hold of here. I'm willing to lay down my life, Lord, for your kingdom, for your revolution in the hearts and minds of men and women. Lord, and you have to do that work. You have to take our fingers and gently pry them away. What we're hanging on to. God, it's all you. It's all your work, but we need to be willing and say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would just move through our church and your church.
Yes.
And change our hearts, God, so that we're willing. We're willing, God. We want you to pry our hands loose from what we're holding on to, to identify those things.
That's right.
We want to say whatever. We want to say, I'll do whatever you say, Lord, without reservation. God, bring us to that place. Lord, drive out the fears.
Amen.
Identify them. Drive them out. Drive them out, Lord. Drive out unbelief.
Amen.
Build faith, God, in the hearts of your people.
Yeah.
Lord, and help us to take those steps. Just keep taking some steps and eventually bigger, bigger, bigger steps.
Yeah.
You know, just building here a sanctuary, a meeting place is beyond us, way beyond us.
Yeah.
Doing that Zambia ministry is way beyond us. Only you can do it, Lord. And we're committed to moving out, Lord, and see you do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for giving us challenges that we can't do without you. Thank you, Lord. Let your boldness rise up in our hearts, God. And just take over. Courage. Not discouraged, courage.
Yeah. Truly, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
There's a confidence, Lord, that comes from knowing you, and we see it in the pillars of the church, like Paul and Peter. Paul says, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded. And we might not have that confidence. We want to believe. I feel like I believe in you, but I don't really know you as I have to know you. But there's a revelation that you can bring to our hearts that will transform us, O God, where we won't be doubting, that you're able to perform the word that you have promised, and that we can fix our hope completely on you without a fear that somehow we're going to be, our hopes are going to be dashed or disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we just repent of the conditioning that would make us hesitant when you're calling us to be bold and to step out and say, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to risk. That we just commit our lives into your hands, Lord. We're the clay and you're the potter, and we are what we are by your grace. We'll be your workmanship in the earth, Lord. We believe that we're going to be a people that are glorious, that will be conformed to the image of Yeshua. And just as you were sent into the world and you were on a mission to accomplish the work of the Father, so also will we. But it's all by your grace, Father. It's your work that's being accomplished. You intended it. It originated with you. You're the executor of your word. Father, we'll just trust in you. Choose to trust.
I'm reminded of a vision I heard several years ago. I was visiting some friends up in Central Coast and went to their church. And during the worship time, this person gave a vision. She said that she saw a person in the river, and they were you know, kind of floating, moving along with the current, and looked pretty peaceful and all. And then they came to this waterfall. The river was coming to this waterfall, and there was no place to go but over it. And, you know, when she said that, of course, the alarm, you know, that feeling of alarm. And that's all she said at that point. And I really could identify with that, you know. So I asked her about it later, and she said, oh, well, then I'll tell you the next part. The person went over the falls. All over the falls. And, you know... And as they came to the point of being, you know, crashed, the Lord caught them. And the person was so excited about that that they said, if I'd known it was like that, I'd have done it long ago. Every time we move through some place like that with the Lord and let Him and, you know, just let it go and trust Him. That's kind of what happens, and it builds and moves us. And but it feels like that sometimes.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, Nancy.
I want to share something about that. Tonight, this is like icing on this heavenly cake. I feel I'm exhausted and drained, but I feel like I've just died and gone to heaven. This has been an unreal day for me. Totally unreal. The Lord touched all three of my family members all in one day. And it has just been like heaven. I mean, I'm exhausted and I'm drained because the battle was so intense, but the battle's over and I'm just so happy. And I told Susan and Steve in the parking lot and Pastor Tell when I got in church today, the Lord spoke to me. It was just so exciting. And I was just going in faith because my heart has been so heavy. A lot of you know about my brother, HIV, and he had hepatitis C. And this has been going on for 6 years. He lost his eyesight. And we've just been through this whole thing up and down and up and down, spiritually, physically, the whole nine yards. And my heart has just been travailing for him and aching for him. And it has really been a painful and happy, painful, happy for our family, you know, because we've had so many happy things happen and so many downer things happen. And today it was like the Lord spoke to my heart. I was so burdened. Pastor Ted, Judy, you, and Lola were going to get like a 10-page letter about how my heart was aching and breaking. I was so crushed, so hurt because there was no answers. It's like my brother got put in a skilled nursing home last week from a care home, going to the nursing home 2 weeks ago, seeing my brother in a nursing home and not being able to do a thing about it, and he was depressed and he was sad. The Lord raised him up like six times in the last 6 years from his deathbed, and Lola was just telling me a couple weeks ago, yeah, and everybody else is telling me he's not done doing the work. The Lord's been faithful to answer so many prayers. It's been awesome to see all this happen. And I was just so crushed. And I said, Lord, my sister was crushed. I was crushed. What can we do? We can't do it. That hopeless place. We can't do anything. All we can do is surrender, 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 surrender. Before I even had the answers for today on the way to church, the Lord said that exact thing to me. He said, I will move the mountains. You're to get refreshed now. You're to drink my living waters. You receive what I have to give you, and I will move the mountains. And the Holy Spirit just hit me so hard. I had Holy Spirit bumps all over me, and I just felt free. I felt free. When I got home, I talked to my brother. I talked to my sister. The Lord broke through for my sister. She's been struggling with her job. We've been worried about my brother. She got a new computer. She gets to look for a new job. So when my family's doing well, I'm a family person. And when they're doing well and they're hurting, I hurt. Just like with you guys. We're a family, and we should all hurt when we hurt and help when we help. And to see the breakthrough is enormous. I talked with my brother. I called him. His whole thing changed. He went from depression to, wow, the Lord's doing a lot of really neat things in here. He sent me a Christian.
Really?
He sent my brother a Christian to minister to him in his darkest hour. He was so depressed. And I was so sad. And the Lord just answers prayer after prayer after prayer. And he says, so many neat things are just happening. And he says, the Lord's really doing some neat things. And it's so awesome to see him go from way down there to continue this fight and just keep seeking the Lord, even though I keep seeing him slip backwards and slip backwards. And then he moves some and slips backwards and slips backwards. And I feel like the burden is totally finally wasn't for all it did.
All right. Praise God.
And I feel like an eagle.
Anybody else want to say anything? Michael, you have somewhat to say?
You know, I've got something to say, but I don't want to. It's like after she shares this great testimony, it's like, I don't want to say what I've got to say. But I've got to say it. So let me say what I'm going to say, and excuse me, and then, because if I don't share it, then it's, you know, I'm inviting misery for like a couple weeks, and I'd rather make you guys miserable for one night than myself be miserable for 2 weeks. Just kidding, it's not misery. It's let me just share briefly, really. When Susan was sharing the vision of the inlets and sharing on those, you know, I was just in a place of just relaxing and just listening, and I didn't, and the Lord just began to show me a picture and something I needed to share. And what it was, you know, I can visualize that inlet thing really well. You know, it's just like I'm thinking like the bayous of Louisiana. You know, it's just like really kind of swampy, and the road kind of heads down through there. And but I saw a picture of an example. Okay, maybe it was an example of where people are with that. Okay, several types of responses I think that we have when we reach that place. One of them, I think, is we see the hindrance as an obstacle that we just want to just get past. Let's just get past this. And so I saw a picture of someone praying that the Lord would give them the energy or the ability to jump over it. Lord, help me to jump over this. This is obviously in the way. You don't want anything in the way. Let's jump. So give me the energy and the strength to jump. And then another person ran into the same inlet, and in their zeal to go forward, again, they saw it as something, this shouldn't be here, so I need to be running forward. So they tried to, you know, when you're a kid and you do dumb things and you when you're hiking or something, you try to go across the water by kind of falling down and grabbing the other side, and now your feet are on one side and your arms are on the other, but you can't go either way. You're stuck, and there's no way out. You start weakening, and then all of a sudden it's like there are people that do that, and then they ask the Lord, give me the strength to stay, and they're stuck in this position. And you know, and so I said, okay, Lord, I can relate to both of those places. But what is it, you know, what is this to you? What do you see when you see all this? And Lord, I just got an overwhelming sense of sadness, because the Lord's goal and desire is for people to work through those places. Because He brought us to that place. Because that place whatever that is. You know, we all have different names for those places. I mean, Susan has a place, she named it for us tonight. That's one of her places. I know she didn't name them all. I know a couple more. I have a whole bunch too. And you know, I actually have a place that's similar to Susan's place. And some of the similar issues. It's like there's things the Lord has shown me that He wants to do on this earth. And whenever I see them, whenever I look for them and not see them and don't see them happening, or I see things that happen on the earth that within the church, you know, different movements, whatever, and I see things that look like they're not doing that, it gives me great sadness. That's the big picture stuff that I deal with. The small picture stuff is, you know, seeing my folks not be Christians. You know, see my dad, who I've given my testimony to, literally say, I'm afraid to give over my will to God, with a very clear understanding of what it means to be saved. And he's 68, going to be 69 this year, and he said that in his heart to God. And it's like, that, Lord, that's an inlet from, you know, those are inlets, those are things. And what do we do with that stuff? That is, maybe it's, we're called to the mission field and we have, there's fear there, or there's other things going on. Maybe it's an outward thing. But you know what, maybe it's an inward thing too. Maybe it's an inward heart issue that needs to be cleared away so that we can hear all the awesome stuff God has planned for our lives. So we can join Him in doing the things in the body He wants us to be a part of. You see, that's the clearing part of the heart. You know, He wants us, He's got awesome things for all of us. Callings and giftings and some of us are stuck in these places because we don't know how to get through them, and we think that this is a bad thing. This is this bad, horrible thing, and I should either be able to jump over it, or God should be able to snap His fingers and it just disappear. And yet the Lord brings us to those very places because the only way that we can get through it is to get through it with Him. Working through it and facing that stuff and saying, okay, Lord, what is this? And you know, most of the time when you ask that question, He does answer it, and it just sits you down. You know what I mean? You just get sat down with the truth of it. You're like, oh. Like, I thought that was already dealt with, or I didn't realize it had more to it than that, or whatever. And then it's a question of, okay, Lord, this is obviously still here. I'm right at it. How do I get through this? How do I work through this? And you know what? I think the thing that gives Him the most grief, not in the world or in the church, but I think one of the things that gives Him a great deal of sadness is when we, as believers, see His very attempts to heal us as bad things that we need to get past. And it's not about that. It's about seeing them as an opportunity the Lord is taking great time with to heal us with. And it's like Susan said, what is it, Lord? Define this for me. Help me to understand it. I don't want to be a human bridge. I want to walk across it because You have made it the way clear. Because You did it. And we worked through it together. And you know what? I can look behind me on the path behind me and see the places I've come through with Him and know that He is well able to do it. And yet it seems like every time I come across one, it's this whole new thing. That's like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. You know, and I go through this whole process again. And I spin around in circles. And some of those inlets, I've got ruts where I've spun around in circles in front of for sometimes years.
Amen.
because I didn't understand or believe that He could work through it with me and get me to the other side and take something that looked like it was nothing but damage and horrific stuff and turn it into something that would end up being wonderful because he healed that area of my heart. That all the enemy was trying to do was to keep me down and to keep me destroyed and to keep me wounded and to keep that heart, part of my heart, completely inaccessible to the Lord because it was just in a wound that I refused to deal with and then not be able to go out and do the things the Lord wants me to do. And not just what He wants me to do, but the things He's eager to partner with me in. That's a much more biblical statement. He wants to partner with me in all the great things he's got going on. And it's like, I don't want to be stuck there. So if we, any of us, are in a position where we're either acting as, we're trying to scale the thing ourselves, we're trying to jump over it, let's stop. Let's just stop doing that. Let's be zealous for the healing. Let's be zealous for his interaction with it. Let's be zealous to work through it with him. Let's apply our zeal to the things like that so that we can get through it and be free.
I know the Lord's speaking all different things, but I've got a little bit of different sense in terms of what you shared, especially as it relates to a collective sense of a response to something. Because I do believe God wants to break through. Break through in our church and other churches and individuals. But we put it on this on the lead. Possibly have unbelief is can be sin.
Mm-hmm.
It usually is sin. It's like not believing God.
Right.
So when that sin, it requires a confession of that sin before the Lord. But then ultimately, whatever it is we have unbelief about, we have to face it and not, like you said, go around it or over it, you know, avoid it.
Right.
But a lot of times we just don't want to face it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. It's in the experiences that I've had in areas with my life, it's like even, you know, I've shared before when I was in seminary and everything, I had a tremendous fear of public speaking. Yeah. And you wouldn't know it today, but I would pray to get sick so I wouldn't have to speak.
Yeah.
But fortunately, God didn't answer those prayers. But I ultimately had to confess my unbelief, but I had to also work through some things because a lot of that was related to my father issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I had to face some of the hurt and pain with that. But
right.
Ultimately, I had to get up to speak.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. even though I had worked through things, knew everything, it was like, okay, here I've got this time I've got to speak. My flesh was saying, oh no, here comes all the stuff again, all the things related to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to say, no, Lord, I'm believing you, I'm trusting you, even though
right.
I may look like a fool for you, I'd rather be a fool for you.
Yeah.
So, naming it, facing it, in Africa, you know the story about Africa,
yeah.
Malaria,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that I even took an inner vow and about going back to Africa because I almost died in 1988 of malaria. Well, when I'm there, and God's putting this compassion about all the orphans and everything else, my heart is jumping, my head is saying no. And then the Lord showed me it was an inner vow related to a fear of dying in Africa. So the Lord, when he showed me that, I repented and I said, God, that's unbelief. You know, that I settled that in 1975
mm-hmm.
when I gave my life to you.
Yeah.
I died then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you resurrected me to new life.
Amen.
And it's like, if you want to take my life there or wherever, it's up to you. Who am I to hinder how you want to use me? But
yeah.
I still had done playing. Get a ticket, I got the ticket, but I still had to go on a plane and go to Africa. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's things, we can stay in the reasons why we can't get beyond that. And I think God wants us to, you know, anything in giving. Ed and I were talking about giving this morning. Somebody might have a problem, unbelief about giving because of growing up as a kid with a family where they didn't have things, so they don't want to lose control of giving.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody may have a fear about giving. Unbelief about giving that has to do with, I just don't want to share what I have. You know? So
yeah.
Each of us has to understand what it is that we're needing to face and then confess that sin and really.
Yeah.
But I think even in I can witness in terms of the church in general, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's some, a little bit of a resistance there in unbelief
yeah.
that God wants to break through so that we can all go for it.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that, Ted. I think when we discover those places, when he lights them up for us, we have to fight our way over to believing him and moving with him instead of staying there. You know, I mean, you were talking last week or whenever about when the the group with, that was with Nehemiah, you know, they have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. You know, they're working on the wall, but they're also ready for the battle if it happens. I think it's the same thing for us. We need to respond to God. When we do, we will bump into some of these things. And then we have to fight our way through them. And not have them settle us down or find some reason, or I don't have time, or I'm too busy, or, you know, we give up reasons rather than face the thing that we're really afraid of or whatever. And that fighting through to get to the place where we have freedom in it. So, yeah, that's the whole thing.
You'd be surprised at what we went through the first few months of One Accord. It's like every week we would be talking to each other going, this, all kinds of stuff was getting stirred up. Right after the meetings, we'd be driving home on the phone with each other just going, you know, I don't know what, you know, this is what, you know, and we would be going through stuff because it seemed like every single time stuff was getting stirred up. And it's like, yeah, somehow we would get to where we would be back.
It takes courage. Right. You're never going to get to the point of where you're feeling perfectly fearless.
No.
No, this will go on forever.
Preaching. He was in a preaching class. He was terrified. And he got to the point.
But he was there.
In seminary, we're going to pack up and go back to New York.
I know.
Get to class! What did God say? I'm going!
I'm so glad I'm married to her.
He had to preach.
What did God say?
That's the fighting through. That is the fighting through.
What was clear is that you needed to be there. And what was clear to us, what was clear is the Lord had said, you're going to be at One Accord, and this is what I'm doing. And that was clear, and we knew that no matter what we did, that was clear, yeah. And it was like, that was clear, so for us not to go.
Yeah, whatever shape you're in, you just get there.
We would have been bailing on it, and it's like, where do you go from there?
But yeah. In terms of what she said goes, what Susan said about coming alongside each other and what he's speaking.
Right.
Because the enemy will come back at us and say, did God say?
Yeah.
And we need to come alongside each other and say, God said.
Yes.
I mean, like,
and there's some kind of fruit from it.
Right.
Yeah.
All kinds of things.
Yeah. My heart right now, I've been thinking revolution and being from Vietnam. We need each other.
Yeah.
We need to support each other.
Yes, we do.
We see them weak. We need to help them, edify them, mm-hmm. support them. That's what I'm getting out of this. Mm-hmm. Because alone we can't do it. But right. together as a church, we can do anything with the faith. But when you see somebody hurting and you feel that discernment, step in, move into it, and give them that discernment to them. Because we need to help each of us.
That's right.
You know, not just by ourselves, but we need to help each other. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting out
of this.
It's
being the body.
This whole thing.
It's being the body.
That one spirit.
Yeah. Eva?
A heart for helping poor people and helping mm-hmm. kids and stuff like that, but I have a fear of going into the bad areas where the poor people are.
Yeah.
And so the other day we went and we was talking to someone about getting food and stuff, and I don't actually know which school that we're actually going to be at, and I have a fear that the school is going to be in a bad area. Mm-hmm. And so I need a lot of prayer and help for that, because I don't really want the school to be in this bad area, but I also know that's where those kids are.
Right.
That need the help, and that's where the people are that mm-hmm. need the help. So I need a lot of prayer for that.
And somebody going with you, you know? Right. I think this is part of why the Lord sent him in twos.
Right.
I'm sure it is, because we lose focus by ourselves, or we get afraid or whatever. You know, somebody needs to go with you, or a whole bunch of people, you know. The other thing I appreciate what Ted said about unbelief is sin. I didn't want to be quite that heavy with it, but, you know. But the fact is, we are missing God there. That is what sin is all about. Something that causes us to miss God and not share in Him, not share in the prize that He is. So whatever, I mean, yes, in any way that we are believing some other stuff, or we're staying in fear, or we're not pushing through, or we're not facing it, or not calling it missing God, we're losing the farm. And we've got to encourage each other out of there, you know. All right. I don't know. I guess we're done, or unless... huh? Yeah, yeah, let's do...
The Lord gave me a scripture, and it's just been pounding out of my heart all night.
All right.
A couple months ago, but every time someone speaks, it just seems to go. So I'm going to read it. It's very short. But it was very encouraging to me, and I think it's for the body. It's 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's an encouraging word. Yeah. Truly. That's exactly what we need. He's looking to find a way to encourage us. Cool. Thanks. Yeah, let's pray for you.
Yeah.